a gentleman who does a show called As the Worm Turns, and Lance is with me right now. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Yeah.
This beautiful fall-like looking morning. Right now, I'd like to remind our listeners that they're tuned to KVNF 90.9 Paonia and KVMT 89.1 Montrose and streaming on the web at kvnf.org. And indeed, we are streaming, actually using the phone right now to patch Lance in from up LaRue Creek Road. Is that where you are right now?
Yeah.
Cool. At home. So at anyway, home. Lance.
What do I got going on?
Yeah.
Well, just something, this is a practical, very practical thing, and it happened to me, and I just thought of it the other day. If there's any tall grass, or if you've mulched your fruit trees, and lots of times you'll mulch right up to the trunk, and that is the perfect home for rodents, right up against the trunk with those grasses or tall plants or whatever around the base of the tree, and rodents will chew on the bark. And they could actually girdle the tree. That's a term for taking all the bark off around the tree, and therefore the top of the tree dies. And so I was just thinking that I was going to suggest that people pull that mulch back at least 6 inches from the trunk of the tree.
And can that also lead to some kind of rot with the roots on a younger tree?
You need to take it off during the summertime.
Just take it off during the summer. It won't be really a problem other than the rodent issue, obviously, in the winter.
There's definitely some different ideas. People do like to mulch around fruit trees, but, again, mulching keeps weeds down, but, again, it brings in other bugs and stuff. So I don't I clean up all of that. If I have any mulch or tall stuff around the fruit trees, I actually take it out of there for the winter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then put it back on. And then do you leave a little perimeter around the trunk of the tree with your mulch just year-round in general?
Or? No.
No, you just put it right up to the trunk then in the spring
and
summer. Okay, that's interesting information. So anything else to share about winter delicacies or anything you're doing right now with food that you might have left over?
actually, I am still eating stuff that I brought into that house in the fall, and I haven't even got into my storage pits yet.
Wow.
So I'm maybe next week I'll start getting in and I'll dig in there and I'll pull out, you know, 5-10 pounds of produce, and that's mainly carrots, mainly root crops, carrots, beets, daikons, kohlrabi, that kind of stuff. And then I have my cabbage are storing really good, and you store those roots and all in buckets of sand, moist sand. And I actually just put some water on that sand about 2 days ago. So about every 2 or 3 weeks, I go in and check the moisture of the sand, make sure that it's not dried out. And also, they're completely covered and in the dark. Otherwise, they're in the light, they're going to try to grow.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're going to carry on with us all winter long then?
Yes, and we're going to have other people possibly come on. I talked to several people talking about permaculture and greenhouse stuff and also biodynamic stuff.
Oh, wonderful. So I'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question related to any of those topics, please do go to kvnf.org, and you can get onto Free Range Radio, and you can actually send a question in to Lance, and he could pass that on and use that as some content for upcoming shows.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So the other project that I started, I noticed that, you know, you get to relax for a little while, but at the same time, there's little things that if you, or maybe big projects that if you don't stay on top of them, you will be in a major rush come March. And one of the things I start doing probably in the next week, so as I have a hedge grove or windgrove all the way around my garden, and I actually prune and thin that. And it's mainly choke cherries and, let's see what else is in there, forsythias, lilacs, currants. There's those hedge roses, what's called Austrian copper rose and Persian yellow. And so I go in there and thin those out, and I clean it up as I go along. And that way the cleanup is not so hard. It takes a lot to pick up all those little branches and stuff. And and then what trying to think of, there's something else that just popped in my head. It's gone now. And then I also will start pruning After I finish with that, I'll start pruning the fruit trees. And I do the apples first, and then I go to the pears, then I go to the apricots, plums, and cherries. I don't do peaches till March or sometime in there, and grapes I won't prune till April. And the reason why I do it that way, one very basic reason is when you're pruning apples, you get it tuned into how apples need to be pruned. And if you're pruning pears, to go from apple to pear to maybe a plum or apricot, they're all pruned differently. So I like to just stay with the one variety, get them all done, and then go to the next variety because they're different, different type of fruit, I should say. And just to know this, people, I'm not going to give a discussion on how to prune because it's really a hands-on thing more than describing it. But apples, different varieties, different bloom on different parts of the tree. And so you need to look up the variety you have and where it blooms and produces the most. Sometimes it's out at the tips of the tree. Sometimes at the mid branches. Sometimes it's right around the trunk. So you need to look that up so you can have the proper pruning for that.
Wow, that's really fascinating. You know, I've had a mini lesson on pruning, and it's just a general one, you know, to get the branches down low. But to really understand that with each tree and variety, you need to consider the variety to begin with and then where it actually bears fruit. And then keeping your focus so that you really are just pruning the tree correctly for the variety and its fruit bearing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Tip. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And other than that, just wintertime. And I also, this is another thing I do during the winter, is this is when I get firewood for next year.
Uh-huh.
Because I am way too busy spring, summer, and fall to be cutting firewood.
You're just generally too busy, Lance. But you've got it down to a schedule, so I find it helpful to hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
That really helps me think about what I need to do in my yard, as minimal as it is and with the limited water I have. So.
Oh, and here's another thing. I have this biodynamic planting calendar. This is what, since we're talking about pruning. And pruning fruit trees should be done on fruit days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you're familiar with the biodynamic planting calendars, but it's divided into flowers.
Oh, really?
Leaf, fruit, and root. And it goes throughout the calendar of the month. And there's different time frames that you can, that you should, if you plant this or do this one in flower, that you're going to enhance flowers. If you do it in leaf, you're going to enhance leaf. And so fruit trees, it says in here to prune on fruit days.
Uh-huh.
To enhance more fruiting. So that's a little thing there. So if anybody has that planting calendar, pay attention to it. See how it works.
Yes.
I don't know.
I bet you could go and online and do a search and find biodynamic planting calendar or biodynamic calendar and get more information.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
So, well, Lance, it is the second day after the solstice, so the sun is shining more, and I just want to thank you again for making the time to be here with us on Free Range Radio.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
And look forward to a 2014 that is full of water, lots of water, and then wonderful plant growth throughout the valley.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, take good care, Lance.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.